This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 105. Tom, I've clearly decided that's how I'm doing the numbers.
Yes. It took a few weeks to settle in.
Yeah.
But yeah, once we got past the 101 debacle.
It was difficult.
Palaver.
Yeah. I think it rolls off the tongue really nicely.
Yep. So lock it in.
105.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you've got any problems with it, either keep it to yourself.
Pop it in the suggestion box.
That's right.
It's the big.
The box.
Circle.
In the corner of the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Tom, I want to talk about a couple of things. I want to talk about War of the Worlds, the BBC production.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that. There was a big thing that happened on Walking Dead.
Yep.
I think we should spend a bit of time with that.
Agreed. Likewise, Good Place.
Mm.
I have thoughts.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Good thoughts.
Okay, good.
Thoughts
good,
nonetheless.
Good. Okay. I was worried then that your face, I couldn't read it. I also know you're a little bit distracted because because you just signed up for something.
Yep.
Let's kick it off with that
All
first.
All right. Yay, Disney Plus launched in Australia this morning.
We're recording on Tuesday, yeah.
Yep. So I've literally just signed up and set up my profile and not got to watch anything yet, but Mandalorian has two episodes waiting for me. Jeff Goldblum is going to teach me about the world. I hope he gets really into like bicycles or...
Yeah, so kind of like
how
a stuff you should know kind of thing where they just talk about completely random topics that are not in any way connected to the episode before.
But I just want him to be exactly random things that he's fascinated by. Mm. I would watch him talk for 10 minutes about how fish tank aquarium glass works, of the glue of, you know, that's a fascinating thing.
It is
fascinating. You make two pieces of glass stick together forever?
And you know he'd be fascinated.
Yeah. So I'm excited by that, the Imagineering project. There's a lot of things.
There's a lot of things, and there's a lot of things for families.
Yes.
Because for me, like really, without deep diving into it, it's Mandalorian and then some stuff that I haven't seen for years.
Yep.
So I'm kind of lukewarm on the stuff that I haven't seen for years, but I also haven't had a proper look through, and I'm sure that I'll find stuff.
I spent literally less than a minute, and there was a section called Spider-Man Collection, and I clicked on that,
you.
And there was like 12 different animated series.
Wow.
I was like, all right, here we go. It's funny you said there's a lot for families. People that have Stan here in Australia, a little bit cranky yesterday, I don't know if you saw. On Stan social media, everyone basically went, hey, we've got Stan so my three-year-old can watch Frozen four times a day, and everything's just weirdly disappeared today. Stan didn't announce that all the Disney content was going.
Damn. Did they just think no one was going to notice?
I don't know. I haven't seen a response yet of...
Okay. Interesting.
Bold.
Yeah, that is really super bold. Well, I've got a little niece who is just a baby. In fact, she's... really only interested in watching The Block at the moment.
The Block?
I don't know why, but that's the thing.
I know why.
I know why too, because the mother. Yeah. But I walked into their house one day and there was nobody in the lounge room except for the baby sitting in the middle of the room staring at The Block. I was like, I think Disney Plus is something that you need to get.
Yep.
But one thing I am excited about is it's going to open up a whole lot of classic Christmas movies.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a couple of new ones on there as well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I saw one called Noelle.
Yeah, something like that. She's the sister of a bloke who has to become Santa Claus. She's got to help out. I think that's the synopsis.
So it's a soft reboot of the Santa Claus, the one with the E with Tim Allen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like,
ho, ho, ho.
Oh, I'm so impressed now that you know when talking to me that you have to put the E at the end, because otherwise I think about the one with John Lithgow and Dudley Moore. Yeah. From the 80s.
Sure. That one does not enter my mind at all. I hear the Santa Claus and
you think that?
It's,
yeah. 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 So you'll have a proper look today.
Yep.
After we do this, and I'm going to have a look over, you know, the next week, and we'll let you know what we really think. Because I don't think doing an episode with only a couple of days worth of viewing is a good one.
No, but like maybe, let's just see how we go. Maybe we add The Mandalorian to the mix of the shows that we talk about. Because there's not too many left of Good Place.
Yeah. Walking Dead finishes next week.
Yep.
And from what I've heard and seen of Mandalorian reviews and just general people talking on social media, it's really good.
It looks that way.
Speaking of really, really good, get ready. This is what the world wants and needs.
Yep.
The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is coming.
Where? Utah?
Yeah. Interesting, right? Andy Cohen said, oh, we're always trying to choose a city that is completely unique with personalities, and we're trying to throw a little curveball now and then, pick somewhere where you aren't expecting. Well, we're excited to travel to Salt Lake City, Utah. I bet you didn't see that coming.
Famous for the Winter Olympics.
Mormon religion, mountains. And now it'll be a whole bunch of women fighting with each other.
All right.
They've tried many places, not just in the US. Like, there's been a Melbourne one, there's been a Sydney one. I think there's been one somewhere in South Africa, probably Cape Town.
It's time to, like, I see what they're doing. Find somewhere trashy. Keep going trashier. You can do better than that.
What about Eleanor Shellstrop's hometown? That'd be all right.
Oh, and like in Arizona?
Yeah.
Yeah, just fake wealth.
Do you know what surprises me? Off the top of my head, I can't think of a show that parodies it. Because remember, Reno 911 was Cops.
Mm.
Why hasn't anybody done this? It's like low-hanging fruit.
I'm sure there is. And
there has to be, right? I mean, we had sort of a Kath and Kim is sort of a version of it a little bit.
And there's a men version. It's like the Real House Husbands of Los Angeles. Uh-huh. I think one of them might have been Kevin Hart very early, or there's a Wayans or someone in there.
Yeah, right.
There's some, like,
there are people with names.
Yeah, and that's a piss take on all of it, but it's following the
blokes.
The blokes.
Yeah. But maybe that is as close as it's got.
But yeah, Kath and Kim, you've nailed it there.
It's probably the closest, right?
It's a really bogan.
Yeah.
You know, new money version.
You've got to be clever with it, though. Like, those guys were so clever. With not just the premise is super easy, like you said, but the language that they use is so funny.
Mm.
Like I said, I watched it not long ago. It still holds up. But Salt Lake City, Real Housewives, get excited.
Can't wait.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Rugs. Carpets. Carpet rugs. Rug carpets. Rugs that look like carpets. Carpets disguised as rugs. Everything must go. It's our closing down sale for today. We will be closing our doors once and for all for the day at 5 p.m. Never to be opened again on this particular day. It's our end of lease sale. We renew on a weekly basis. Nice rugs. Ugly rugs. Cheap rugs with expensive price tags. Actual magic flying rugs. 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 Rugs! I've said the word rug so much now that it's lost all meaning to me. Rugs? Come and take our rugs off our hands and put them on your floors. Rugs, 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 rugs.
Two things from DC Universe. One, they put out a poster and confirmed Black Adam will be coming out in December 2021. Now, he's traditionally a Shazam bad guy.
Uh-oh.
He's
always a bad guy,
no,
like you said, traditionally.
Yes, he's a bad guy to Shazam, but to the people of his nation, he's the king, the ruler, whatever of I believe it's pronounced Kandahar. I can't quite remember, but he kind of rules with a totalitarian thumb, keeps everyone down, but at the same time protects his people and they worship him, and he's got all these powers of a god, so he views himself as quite godlike. He's meant to be about 5,000 years old.
Well, that does indicate a bit of godlike quality.
He's been around a bit. The Rock will be playing him.
Yep.
This is something we've known for quite some time. To give you an idea how long, I asked The Rock about this in 2008.
What?
In an interview then, and he said, yes, we are working on it, and it's going to happen.
I didn't realize it had been around for that long.
That long.
I knew, so peripheral for me, I knew that The Rock was going to be some sort of superhero. I knew that it was. Well, no, but I knew that there was something happening, but I only sort of, it's been in my periphery in the last year or so.
Yep. So this is
2008.
It's legit been floating around that long.
That's crazy.
So this is kind of going to potentially going to be like his Deadpool of that character that he is perfect for, that he has fought for a long time and stayed attached to and this sort of stuff.
So. He's just going to smile and the crowd's going to go, oh.
He's going to be very charming, but he's also going to do that. He's going to bring out the personality of The Rock, that character, which is the
eyebrows.
But the instant snap to anger, the threatening tone that turns to a smirk, this sort of stuff.
Yeah, there was a lot of chatter about that over the weekend, I think it was. Yeah. So just make sure you remember that's happening.
I guess
for a while.
I guess he's got time because Ballers is done.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know, because he doesn't tend to have a lot of time. He does a lot of things. He's got Jumanji 2 coming out soon.
He's got to work out as well.
All this sort of stuff. Now, on the other side of the DC stuff that I mentioned, everyone's still banging on about release the Snyder Cut.
Still.
So
weren't there some actors that spoke about it?
Yeah, so a lot of the actual Justice League cast used the hashtag over the weekend. What a bunch of brave warriors. Hey, what an inspiring action by the actual Justice League. You know, hashtag release the Snyder Cut. I don't care.
It's not going to happen though, is it?
No, Warner Brothers say no. And there's all these people, there's CGI scenes that have been worked on and there's all, who cares? It's not going to be a much better film. It was a trash movie.
It feels too late anyway, regardless of whether it's going to be good or not. It just feels a bit too late.
Yeah. It's just bullying. Fans trying to bully a studio into it. And the studio, like, look, they probably have a very good reason for not wanting to put out because it's trash. If they chose to put out what they did.
Then there's a reason. It's like bands or singers that finally release the B-sides from that album that was huge and then you go, oh, these aren't as good as the songs that were on the album that was huge.
Yeah.
I get you.
I do not understand it anyway, so who cares?
Surely the actors must be – I feel like they're doing it for some sort of publicity gear up, like something's about to happen or be announced.
Well, I think –
and it's not that.
I think for some of them it's because that's the last chance they get to play those characters. Not the case for Jason Momoa. Things worked out pretty well for him. Ben Affleck, not so much.
Yeah.
Gal Gadot, she's
still doing it.
It's brave of her to have voiced stuff.
Yeah.
But what are they going to do? Yeah, exactly.
She'll be fine.
Who cares? And as much as WB don't want to release it, I bet they just love that everyone's still talking about it, hashtagging it, and you know.
Just keep talking about it.
Ugh.
But we're not going to do anything. Speaking of rumors and things that may or may not be done, there's a rumor around the rumor mill that Spyglass Entertainment have bought the rights to Wes Craven's and Kevin Williamson's Scream.
I saw that.
Yeah. So they're planning on making a new film. It looks like they want to make Scream 5 and they're going to try and get Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox and David Arquette back. I'm going to put it out there and say, I don't think it's going to be that difficult to get any of those.
They've all come back in some fashion for all the others. It made all their careers. I mean, they were all doing good stuff before
they
then,
were,
but like that was the one that made them be taken seriously outside of television.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it was their jump to film, which back then it was almost that. Well, only until recently, actors were not seen as making it until they made it to the movies. I remember when Sarah Jessica Parker got the role of Carrie Bradshaw in Sex and the City, everyone was like, oh no, what's wrong with her career? She's a movie actress. And then, since then, it's all changed with all streaming and everything. But I reckon this is going to happen. And I hope that they sort of play on the nostalgia strings a fair bit because I think that's what audience like at the moment.
Yeah.
Their plastic surgeon doesn't want them doing any activity where balls fly at their nose. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Do you like Days of Our Lives?
Oh, it's my favourite thing.
It's going to look really different next year.
Why?
Because they just released every single actor from their contract.
So what's going on with this?
I don't know. But they used to make, like, it doesn't matter. If you're addicted to your stories and you love your stories, then you'll get plenty of them because they've filmed months in advance.
Yeah.
There's still plenty more coming. And they take a normal break at this time anyway. But they've told everyone that when they come back in March that the actors aren't needed.
So
imagine if Home and Away, right, leading up to Christmas, went all normal, had a big cliffhanger, and then when it came back next year,
no one's there.
Just a different.
Oh, so they're doing. Okay, so I thought maybe the show had been axed to axe and coming back. That's so it's coming back with a whole new cast, a whole new.
Yep. So this is up there, I reckon, with like Passions level of a witch has put a curse on the town.
Yes.
And now everyone looks different. I don't know if they're coming back to play the same characters or not.
They might have to. They might have to have a voiceover guy going, the character of so-and-so is played by so-and-so and this character is going to go for 20 minutes. This reminds me of that show. Do you remember, what was it called, Secret Life of Us with Claudia Carvin and Deborah Mailman set in St Kilda?
Yes.
There was one season where literally half the cast just were not there anymore and there were all these new people and a lot of people just went, I can't be bothered because what happened to that story?
Claudia I was invested in those characters. Why are we?
That's a big call. Days of Our Lives has been going for years.
I think it's like 55 years or something.
Wow. And if there's one thing I know about people that like watching soapies every day, is that they don't want big changes.
They don't want change at all. They want a continuation. It's comic books. It's the same. This is what happens anytime they reboot something in a comic. Everyone goes, what the hell
are
you
doing?
That's not. I watch this because it reminds me of how I felt when I was 8.
Yeah.
That's what this. Yeah.
Okay, well, good luck to them. I'm sure it will be a raving success. Speaking of successes, there's a Netflix is making a show. This is sort of our, we touched on it last week. What are the people from The Good Place doing next?
Sure.
So this is a Netflix show called Brand New Cherry Flavor. It's an 8-episode horror thriller revenge series. It's got Rosa Salazar, who was Alita in the movie, you know, with the big eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to be in it. And Manny Jacinto, a.k.a. Jason.
Nice.
He's going to be in it as well. So it sounds like he's not going to be funny.
Sure. He was in, what was it called? That movie with Chris Hemsworth where he's the really charming cult leader killer.
Oh, is he in that?
Yeah. But he doesn't get to talk. Oh. Manny's
he's a monk?
No, but he's a hard man.
Okay.
He's someone's second in charge.
Yeah, right.
And he's very menacing. But it plays on that idea.
I can't even imagine him.
Manny not talking.
So this is based on a book by a guy called Todd Grimson, which I had a look at it, the synopsis on Goodreads, and it's only got a 3.5 rating out of 5 stars.
So the teacher after class.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about an aspiring film director in LA in the early 90s who embarks on a mind-altering journey from the streets of Beverly Hills to the forests of Brazil. It's got apparently a bit of a sci-fi fantasy sort of feel to it. So
I'm
looking forward to the trailer just so I can understand exactly what it's going to be.
Sounds like an awful lot happening at once in a big pan.
That's right, with only 8 episodes to clear it all up.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Do you like Nicolas Cage?
I do.
Did you see the same headline posted everywhere on the internet? Because I did. Nicolas Cage to play Nicolas Cage in movie about Nicolas Cage.
Is this like being John Malkovich?
It does feel like
it,
that.
Doesn't
it's
it?
Kind of. I think it's that mixed with a little bit of Adaptation, which Nicolas Cage was in, where he played his own
That's
twin.
Right.
There's a bit of this, but it's, you know, clearly and obviously was written for him. Who else could play that? But yeah, he's playing a movie about himself, and while that's happening, he becomes friends with a drug lord and gets swept up in something there, and then, yep.
I
don't need to know any more.
This is why I think the world needs to understand that Nicolas Cage is all right, because he's aware of the fact that people watch his stuff in almost a culty, let's sit down and watch this because it's going to be cray-cray. So he's just gone, all right, watch this.
Let's see how far. He has the potential to push the medium in a completely different direction. Like, Jean-Claude Van Damme has done pretty well over the last 5 years of completely roasting his public image.
Mm.
And it's great. And it really gives you a different level of respect for him.
And it's given him 5 years extra.
Yeah. And I think this would be a really nice cherry on Nicolas Cage's career.
Yeah.
Help him transition to the next phase of, instead of just being, you know, in some really, really trashy films for a few years.
Mm.
Keep out the trashy stuff, but own it.
Yeah.
Do a Bruce Campbell.
Yes.
From Evil Dead. Of, you know, people love Bruce Campbell. People don't respect Bruce Campbell that should.
Mm.
He don't care. He just keeps churning out. He made a movie called Bubba Hotep where he was in a fat suit like and covered in prosthetics, and he was it was that Elvis had gone undercover and was now a super old man living in a retirement home.
Yeah, right.
So he played Elvis and teams up with I can't even remember who it is. Maybe Sammy Davis Jr.
Also another famous dead person.
Yes, and they have to battle a mummy that's stealing the souls of the retirement village.
Do you know
village.
What I would love? If they get the mummy, they like unwrap it and it's Brendan Fraser.
Oh, that's good. But they wouldn't have been able to afford him. I think they struggled to afford Ted Raimi. That's okay. Sam Raimi's little brother.
All right, fair enough.
But yeah, he labor of love films.
Mm.
That's where Nick Cage belongs, and he can just do some really wacky acting.
Because he's actually very good at acting.
He's great. Yeah. Can you imagine the bug out scenes he's going to have where he's playing himself in a film but the real life stuff is impacting and then he's written the script so actual real life stuff impacts. You know, he's going to wig out.
Yeah, so he's going to lose his mind. He's not going to know whether it's the real or the film. Or maybe the audience won't know if it's real or the film.
Yeah, and the promotion cycle he gets to do for that could be amazing.
Yeah, it could be.
Like going on talk shows in character as Nicolas Cage.
Without being like that creepy Joaquin Phoenix.
No. Just showing up as the Nicolas Cage meme, like being completely turned up. Yep.
I can see that happening.
So into this.
La 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 la.
The only show choosing not to keep up with any of the Kardashians. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Oh, I saw this story today. Game director Amy Henning, who did a lot of the Uncharted games and was halfway through making a story-focused single-player Star Wars game for EA before said, no, we don't want any single-player-focused storyline Star Wars games. And then only like last week they released that Star Wars Fallen Order Jedi game. Anyway, beside the point, she's going to lead a team focused on creating story-focused interactive series for new streaming platforms. Now, that's a lot of words.
Isn't it?
A lot of words.
That's synergy.
Yeah, it really is. It's clearly written by people who like to go to business meetings a lot.
Oh, that's marketing jargon 101. That's so, cross-referencing the end, you know, and contextualizing thought.
Focus interactive. That's I'll flick an email to you about it.
Look, let's chart table this for now. We'll class this as a whip.
Yes.
And let's circle the wagons back to it tomorrow.
We might even get marketing to integrate with us.
Oh, definitely.
On the meeting. But Skydance, so she's going to be working for them. They have worked on recent movies like Annihilation, The Latest Terminator, Gemini Man. So she's going to...
Hot streak there.
Yeah, well, I did have to add Gemini Man at the end, just to let you know. Yeah. But it looks like they're trying to reach gamers and non-gamers to have like this experience. What it sounds like, this is what she said, and then I'll tell you what I think it sounds like, and I think you're going to agree. She said, our goal is to create inviting and innovative experiences with the high production values and visual fidelity that will set the standard in this new media landscape. I think it's choose your own adventure type of experience, similar to Black Mirror's Bandersnatch. Yep. I think that's what they're doing.
I think you're right. I think if it was Apple that she was doing this stuff with, then I'd be saying it's AR because they really want AR to be a thing. And it's going to be a thing.
It will be, but yeah, it's not yet.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So that's obviously ages away. But I thought she...
I don't know, because that Bear Grylls one, they turned that around quick smart.
They must have another one. Netflix has to have another one because it's been a while since Bear Grylls came out. Because that was earlier this year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or was Bandersnatch earlier this year?
I think Bandersnatch was
maybe it was late
November
last year,
somewhere around there, tail end last year.
So I think we're due another one. They're clearly
hard work. I mean, was it
a
Christmas special? No, it wasn't, was it?
Knowing Black Mirror, that sounds like
that
a kind of thing.
Sounds like what they do.
Yeah. Oh, I've just got a little extra. It's my last story. I just saw an hour ago Valve released a tweet that just says, "We're excited to unveil Half-Life Alyx, A-L-Y-X, our flagship VR game." And it's coming out this Thursday, so when this podcast comes out. Now, I never played Half-Life, but Half-Life is a game that there were two of, and people loved it. And apparently the second one finished on a cliffhanger, clearly ready for a Half-Life 3, but that never happened because Valve then started...
Valve became Steam.
Yeah.
And they have bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
Look, honestly, the expectation and hype on Half-Life 3 is stupid.
That they can't make it?
They would never match.
Mm.
And this, we're talking about Valve, the people that have a completely gold strike. Like, they don't, Valve don't really mess up much.
Mm.
And when they do, they fix it damn quick.
Mm.
I just don't see that matching. I would love it. I adore the first Half-Life.
What about the second one?
I still really enjoy a lot of it, but Half-Life 1 was of a particular time of my life where
it
really stuck with me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they've got Portal and there's Orange Box was a lot of fun where it had everything.
What's Orange
Box? Orange Box was, I want to say, last generation Xbox, and it was basically most things Valve had put out up to that point on one disc together. So it was Half-Life expansions, Half-Life 2 and the expansions, chapters 2 and 3 and that, Portal 1 at least. It was a really good package.
Yeah. Well,
I could see messing around with VR could be pretty fun.
To me, it seems like this VR is perhaps in the world of Half-Life, but certainly not a continuation. It's not 3.
Yeah, I don't think it would be.
Yeah.
It would be very cool if you're wandering around as Gordon Freeman inside the space base, or you know, something like that.
We don't know yet.
I want to hold a crowbar.
Oh, okay.
Crowbar is a big part of Half-Life.
Oh, because I was going to say, I'm pretty sure you could just go and get one and hold it. It's not the same thing. I get you.
It's a good weapon. You got to take out head crabs. You want a crowbar.
Okay, head crabs, crowbar. Okay.
Yeah.
I've written that down now, just in case.
Jump on the top of your head and start, like, suckling onto your brain.
Wait, so then you're hitting it with the crowbar whilst it's on your head?
Yeah, and you've got the thing. Same reason why I always say, if you want a good zombie weapon, a crowbar is the way to go for, because you've got a surface that you can dig into the eyes, but you've also got something you can pry with.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Get some leverage.
Have you got any other news?
Yes, a little bit. So it's been disappointing on the box office front for a couple of weeks now. Terminator Dark Fate underperformed. Dr. Sleep did as well, which was the
Ewan?
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor?
Sequel that no one wanted, clearly. Even though people, like critics and people, say it's great, no one's turned up. And then Charlie's Angels over the weekend did $8 million in the US box office. $28 million worldwide. That's nothing.
Now, I heard people talking about perhaps why. And one was there were two relatively unknown people who were Charlie's Angels, along with Kristen Stewart, who... She's quite divisive, I think.
Yes, that's a good
one. For audiences. And when you think about the last Charlie's Angels movies, the three people that they had as Charlie's Angels were immediately famous.
And were all reasonably big stars at that point
anyway. Beforehand, yeah.
And very charismatic.
Very much so.
Kristen Stewart is if you've ever seen an interview with her, charisma is not what you would mark her.
She's the kind of person that if she cracked a joke, I wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
Because I just wouldn't be expecting it. And she'd go, oh, that, no, I was being funny. And I'd have to go, oh, no, I knew it was, yeah, good one.
Yeah, so stay tuned. Frozen 2, that should write things for the end of the year. And then the little Star Wars coming up.
Is there a Star Wars coming?
There is, you might have heard. Very quick story. There's rumors flying around that there may be a reunion of the TV show Party Down, which I highly recommend. I can't even remember what it's.
I don't think I know. Maybe 10 years
ago. Adam Scott, Jane Lynch, Lizzie Kaplan, Ryan Quanten, Ken Marino, and Martin Starr.
Their names?
Yes. They're all people that you know from things.
Yeah.
And have gone on to be on plenty of good stuff. It's a show about they're all wannabe actors who work at a catering company.
Mm.
And
so it's a comedy, obviously, judging by the names you've said.
It is, but it's kind of a little bit dramedy at points. Very funny, and there's a lot of improvising in there. And
that sounds good.
Yeah, from people that don't necessarily improvise all the time and kind of get pushed into it and over the course of the show get really damn good at it.
What's it called?
Party Down.
Oh, check it out.
Yeah, it's. I think it's on Netflix. I know I've seen it floating around iTunes. It's definitely out there. There's two seasons of it.
Okay. I've hijacked your.
No, that's okay. So there's potential reunion talk of that. There was cool. Two seasons from back in the day. It's the people from Veronica Mars are involved. A lot of people want to come back. The producers have said that they're currently trying to see what they can organize for the next 2 years. Not a movie, but some sort of
that'd be fun.
TV special.
Yeah.
I think that would be very cool. And then the last thing I want to talk about is I send you a lot of dumb mashup videos and stupid internet things that I like, but also – I'm obsessed with deepfake. This is really weird, which is using technology to map someone else's face onto someone and get them to do something that they never did. I sent you a video yesterday, maybe, I don't know, a round table from Collider, which I feel we need to talk about.
Yeah, it was impressive.
It was like an 8-minute thing.
I mean, these guys were very good, but also the deepfake was very good.
So what it was is they had a adjudicator from Collider, someone hosting it, and then I think there were only three different impressionists. There was a couple of people playing two of those characters.
I didn't even realize.
So they had a slightly larger guy playing Robert Downey Jr.
Yep.
They had someone who was George Lucas and Ewan McGregor and Jeff Goldblum and Tom Cruise.
Mm.
And I think Tom Cruise may have been the same person as Robert Downey Jr. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, right. But they use
deep fake to put their actors' faces on these people.
Yeah, so they wipe their faces off and then have. So they wipe the guy's face off and it is Tom Cruise's face.
On top of. And it's done so well that within 10 seconds, your brain stops looking for the gaps and the joins and just accepts it as it is. And they make these people say some ridiculous things. Mm. And the guy playing Jeff Goldblum is fantastic. It's all in the hands.
Yep.
So you stop. What the hell?
I thought the Ewan McGregor one was amazing, apart from the fact that maybe he was just a little thinner than Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
But he was Ewan McGregor with a beard. And I couldn't see where he wasn't Ewan McGregor.
And the thing that was crazy
face,
for me about
on the
that,
head.
I agree with completely looking. The way they staged it, if you look around, they put all the beards down one end of the table and had them at an angle. And the way the face map works from a side on, it messes with things less beard-wise and stuff.
Mm.
So they sat people in a very specific spot. So you could have Jeff Goldblum be at the end and be handsy and not worry. But then the other guys all be side on. So it kind of worked with their facial hair better.
Even the things that Tom Cruise was saying, and he didn't have facial hair, even the things that he was saying and the way he was acting was stuff that Tom Cruise would say.
Yeah.
They're those non-answer answers that actors and politicians give. But, you know, Tom Cruise has always tried to do it in a really charming way. But ever since the couch jumping thing, it all looks slightly manic.
Yep.
just a bit. What's going on? Even his introduction, like he grabbed the host's shoulder. And it was such a Tom Cruise thing that when I knew it wasn't Tom Cruise, but seeing that, I was like, oh, no, it's not. That is Tom Cruise. No, it's not. But it is.
Constantly forgot that wasn't George Lucas because it was such a spot on, curmudgeonly, over it impression.
Yeah.
Anyway, I cannot recommend watching this thing enough.
So how would we Google it to check it out?
So just jump on YouTube, and I think it's just Collider deepfake roundtable or something like that.
Yeah, put in the actors' names maybe in deepfake.
It's about 8 minutes, 9 minutes, which is staggering of how long it works well for.
That's true.
That's the thing that's blowing my mind. Normally these deepfake things are maybe a minute and a half because it's a lot of work putting into that. I have no idea how they turned it around so quickly because there were jokes in there about Martin Scorsese's comments that had happened a few days
that's
earlier.
That's true. It must have a bloody good computer software program. That's
craziness.
That's all I can say.
Anyway, that's enough news.
Well, why don't we start talking about some things we've watched and done?
Yes.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. I want to touch base quite briefly about South Park. I had mentioned earlier in the season that the show had become Tegrity Farms and was following Randy's adventures. Randy, last week's episode was called Season Finale, even though it was in the middle. And
such a South Park thing to do.
Everyone in the town decided they'd had enough of Randy's shit and got him thrown in jail.
Oh, poor Randy.
And, well,
he deserved it.
He really deserved it. He'd basically become a terrorist. He was doing deals with the Chinese. He was blowing up people's backyards who were home growing and this sort of stuff. He's about to go to jail. And then, unfortunately, Mexican Joker rears his head again. And so Randy gets off this week. It's not Tegrity Farms anymore. It now starts with the piss take of the Muppet Babies beginning.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's all about the PC babies, which are the babies of the principal, like the really PC PC principal and vice principal strong woman have five babies that all wear like racing goggles, like racing sunglasses and get upset anytime that someone's not behaving in a PC manner. Okay. Yep.
That's good. That's a statement.
Yep. And so this episode is about Vice Principal Strong Woman is going in the, the Strong Women Championships, which she always wins at. And there's a new transgender athlete who is clearly Randy Macho Man Savage, who started transitioning 2 weeks ago to win and everything. And so the episode becomes about at what point is someone not being a transphobe if they call out someone for being an asshole.
Oh, and the PC babies were having trouble with that whole situation.
Everyone was having trouble with that situation. And on the flip side, Stan was there and they continue to push Stan's character really, really into board games.
Awesome.
Like you would be impressed with the depth of some of the stuff that was getting mentioned.
So clearly one of them has suddenly discovered board games.
Oh, no, they've both been into it for a long time. They're all into Warhammer and the whole thing. They've been dropping this for like 15 years that Stan is secretly a really big wargamer. And then in this episode, stuff gets mentioned and he starts listing different like skirmish level you want open warfare and like you know like really categorizing deep game references. Ooh, it was amazing.
That sounds hilarious.
So, yeah, PC babies. I don't think that's going to stick around as a theme for very long.
No, they potentially have said what they have to say.
Yeah, but it was like the Muppet Babies theme song, boom. PC babies.
Sounds amazing.
I wonder if I can watch Muppet Babies later.
You could, couldn't you?
Muppet Babies would be on
Disney. It'd be on Disney Plus.
Disney own Muppets? They bought the Jim Henson Company.
Yeah, 100%. There are Muppet movies on there. Oh, Muppet Christmas movie. Okay.
Muppet Treasure Island. Tim Curry is a pirate.
Damn, that's good. Look, I was talking about this a few months ago. That BBC were making a three-part series of War of the Worlds.
I recall.
And it was set in Edwardian times, which is when it was written.
Is it Ralph Spall? Rafe Spall, is he in that one? I'm a big fan of him. He's Timothy Spall's son.
Yeah, right. Yes, it is him.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's got Eleanor Tomlinson as well. I'm not sure who she is, but I know who Robert Carlyle is, and he's in it.
Sure.
He's not playing his Trainspotting character. Phew.
Is he playing Rumpelstiltskin? You played him on Once Upon a Time for many years.
Maybe almost.
What about 28 Days... 28 months later.
Wasn't he also, 28 months later. He was also in the one where the guys would strip tease. So they were like strippers, but they were everyday guys from England.
The Full Monty.
Full Monty, thank you.
Yes, with King Robert.
Yes, that's right. Couldn't remember the name of the movie.
And
Ewan
Bremner from Trainspotting. Odd looking cat. Love that man.
He's very old.
So much time for him.
So I had seen...
I've derailed
no,
you.
No, don't even worry. So I had seen that War of the Worlds, this version, was getting some pretty strongly opinionated opinions.
Oh, really?
On social media of people just not having any time for it. And I thought, well, I don't know, the trailer looked all right. I thought it looked fun and I liked the fact that it was set in Edwardian time in England because, I mean, my memory is Tom Cruise, right? Movie.
Sure.
So I watched it. The first episode was fine except they're movie-length episodes. It's only three.
Right.
I think we've only got two of them I did try and see when the next one comes out. I think it's the 1st of December. So the first one is fine. The second one is very slow. I was just like...
There's a lot of hiding out in cottages and things.
Yeah. They're hiding out from the aliens. I reckon they could probably have done it in two.
Pat it out.
Maybe that's why people didn't have time for it. So I will watch the third one just because the end of the second one had, like, there was an idea.
I thought the trailer looked great, but there is a weird disconnect in that the War of the Worlds is meant to be a story that's of the present, terrifying people of the present. That's why it was read out over the radio and scared people back in the day. I don't love that Tom Cruise version at all, but it had some all right ideas of how we would deal with the technology blinking out on us today and this sort of stuff.
Mm.
So the idea of seeing it back in it, I just don't get that.
Mm. Yeah, because you already don't care.
That's right.
Because you already know that those guys made it because we're here. Yeah, right.
They're going to discover that aliens are scared of water or something like in Signs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They were no, I won't give it away.
No, don't give it away.
Give it away. Give it away now. Still one more. Mm. What else have you been watching?
I watched Good Boys. That was a fun movie.
What's that one about?
So it's Seth Rogen produced.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's three guys that I think they're meant to be about 11 or 12, and puberty is just kicking in.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been friends since they were very young because their parents are all friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they've all hit that age that we all go through at school where you suddenly start changing, not just physically, but also discovering who you want to be.
Your childhood friends may drift apart from you because you're.
And it's that idea of don't grow up too quick, but when you do grow up, remember the good stuff that came before.
Mm.
But some of the stuff is really full on vulgar.
Really?
It's very super bad.
Yeah, okay.
Very book smart, that sort of stuff. I don't think the boys that are in the film have been allowed to see it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they get what they were doing?
Plenty of it, okay. Yeah. But like they unintentionally become drug runners. And, you know,
it happens.
Things get out of hand very quickly. They're also it's one of the most innocent internet searches I've ever seen of like typing in something.
And it goes really wrong?
Really wrong. And boy, oh boy, any guy can relate to that moment.
Of yeah, like, right.
You thought you were searching one thing and the internet shows you something different and you're suddenly very interested in what the internet's decided what that means.
So it's got a few giggles in it.
Very much so. I laughed. I really did laugh.
Cool.
One of the characters, he is a tall and chunky African-American dude, has very full-on high-pitched squeal that he does a lot.
Okay.
And at first it's kind of annoying and then it kind of gets a bit of context through things and you're like, oh, okay. All right. It's a coping mechanism. Okay,
yeah,
we'll go
yeah,
for it.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So, yeah.
A good weekend watch?
I would say that pairing Good Boys and Booksmart would be quite an evening.
I still want to see Booksmart. It's on my list.
It's worth it.
Okay, I'll get to it.
Solving mysteries, rewriting histories. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I want to talk about The Good Place.
Can we?
I thought things happened in this one. Well, they were always going to. And if you remember last week I said, oh, I'm excited about this week's episode because we'll get to see Maya Rudolph. And we did.
Very,
she's almost Judge Judy-like in this one.
And very into Ally McBeal, which I am into.
But yeah, so she was really into that, but then also wasn't bothered about the fact that she'd lose the Ally McBeal remake if she did just get rid of all the humans.
No, but she was happy because then in a roundabout way she'd be rebooting it anyway. Because she was rebooting everything.
Why were there only that many Janets?
I don't think that we were seeing all of the Janets.
Okay, good.
I thought we saw a lot of Janets there, including Disco Janet, which has been rumored to be a lot for a while.
Brilliant.
It was great.
I like seeing the different facial expressions, like with Neutral Janet versus Good Janet, you know, in the crowd.
It would be cool
to
see some of the others named.
Mm. Well, maybe we will next week. I hope so. So how long do you reckon it's going to take the judge to go through all the Janets?
Well, we have one episode left this year. then it breaks and comes back for, I think, four, and one of them's
longer episode, yeah, for the final.
So there's not a whole lot left.
Yeah.
And this episode is basically what any other show would have used as the second to last or last episode. The funerals for each other, the saying, the beautiful character send-offs.
And the weekend at Bernie Chidi.
Oh, boy. Amazing. So it kind of, I don't know where we go from here. But the fact that, look, everything happening with the judge will be wrapped up next week.
Mm.
They'll have Chidi. Hopefully he has a nervous breakdown putting together this system and submits something at the last minute.
It's brilliant.
And then that's what the last few episodes are of seeing if we can do better.
Mm. Do you reckon Janet's in danger?
No, because I think there's a very, 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 very strong reason why they've just summed up all our human characters and given them the nice send-off. Because I think from here on out, the experiment's proven that humanity can improve.
Mm.
We've just witnessed all of the Janets improve, Michael improve.
Mm.
The end game's going to be about them. Janet turning human.
Not a girl.
What if she becomes the new determinator of the point system?
But she's the judge.
That's what I'm saying. If she has all knowledge and has spent this time being rebooted with humans to live like a human, she's the only one who can think like a human. She should be in charge of it all.
She would look good with the judge's robes.
Yeah. I landed on that very late the other night. Ooh,
yeah.
Eureka.
That's really good.
I think that's, like, I couldn't quite tell why we got those funerals other than it was a nice thing to do. Mm. But, yeah, if this is the late game switch up of, okay, we've proven humanity can improve. Let's see if humanity can improve others.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of Janet.
There's a lot of Janet, and I was really happy because it was Janet. What about The Walking Dead? That was a switch up.
That was a swerve.
From the comic books, because I remember you talking about Dante and who he was, and you were like, yeah, he's a bit annoying, but he's all right. There's some cool stuff with him.
He's charming, and he's around for a long time, and he's Maggie's not rebound at all, just the guy that she eventually moves on after Glenn with. So that was quite a swerve. Someone pointed out that you can go back through all the other episodes and see very clearly that stuff is amiss.
Okay.
And that he kind of is a trigger for Sadiq almost every time he talks.
Mm.
Like I went and saw some of the stuff that people have talked about, footage of sometimes Dante talks and Sadiq would just suddenly be focused on his mouth.
Not
know why he was being so drawn into the mouth.
Interesting.
And it was his mouth next to his ear. Open your eyes.
Yeah.
Listen. Yeah.
So that's going to go in places.
Yeah. So is he going to try and make it look like a suicide? Because it's not like he should just bounce out of the community and run away. Also, why is he so on board with Alpha's shit if he now gets to hang out in this community and enjoy
enjoyable things?
Wear a dope rat, a white lab
clean
coat.
This was something I was thinking about. So the old lady died.
Yep.
Earlier, either this episode or the episode before, maybe it was this episode, we saw Dante digging a grave.
Yeah.
What if he's dug a grave big enough to fit two people? So he hides Sadiq underneath either the old lady. I can't remember if it was the old lady's grave or not. But if he digs it so that he puts Sadiq underneath, then he puts somebody else on top who has died from the polluted water, and then nobody really knows if Sadiq's gone or not. Therefore, they have no idea that he's done anything.
Well,
And then he could stay around and just cause way more chaos, because at the moment, Sadiq is the only person that has any idea.
He dead.
Mm.
If this was Walking Dead two or three seasons ago, I'd say 100% you're right. We're not no one else is finding out for another half a year or something like that. But New Walking Dead,
Angela's not having any of that.
I think he's found out and in the jail cell by the end of next episode.
Yeah, right. Well, the jail cell's empty.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Did Dante kill the old lady?
Yeah.
100%?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. He probably gave her the same stuff that he...
Hemlock.
Yeah, hemlock.
Mm.
I'd say that's what it is. Also, with this revelation, will Daryl stop spying on Carol?
No.
So that's a different storyline. So I wonder if now Carol's like gung-ho, like, we've got to do this. People like Daryl will be like, yeah, okay, we really do, because they're here.
I think Carol has lied to Daryl a bunch the last few episodes, and so he's not going to be as, you know, he'll do what he'll have to do.
Yeah.
She's, you know.
She's being badass Carol. This is what Carol does. Like, what she's done with Lydia, used her.
Yeah.
That's such a Carol thing, but Lydia doesn't know that that's a Carol thing.
Then why did they give us that episode earlier this season of Carol on drugs to make us doubt her and question her? If
I forgot about that episode.
Oh, I have not. And that's annoyed me, because now I kind of see her actions as she's dealing with something still, you know. She was a loose cannon earlier in the year, and she is putting everyone don't make me feel like Gabriel's being the good guy. You know, when Gabriel came up and was like, you can't act like this, you got to put it to the council. I, as the viewer, shouldn't be like, let's listen to the one-eyed.
Yeah. You know, I'd forgotten that he and Rosita were together. I just, through most of this season until.
Is that because they keep making her go gaga now about Eugene for some dumb reason?
And Sadiq in this episode as well. Like, he, I think one of the two of them was like, oh, yeah, we're not together anymore. I'm like, oh, I forgot about that.
Where was Negan?
He'll be there next week. We'll see him next week.
Yeah.
Second last. No, this will be the last episode.
Yeah, I think so.
Are you ready for a quiz?
May I?
So this one is almost like a who am I, but it's a who am I if I'm a movie. So I'm going to read to you a synopsis that I have altered from Google. And you have to just shout as soon as you figure it out, because the more I'll read, the more clues you'll get.
Okay.
When Cindy and her husband Bob have to leave town for a family emergency, there's only one person available to babysit their three kids.
Uncle Buck.
Yes.
My first answer was going to be The Hills Have Eyes, because...
That's different.
I thought you were talking about a RV breaking down and being eaten by mutants near a radioactive field. However, John Candy.
John Candy. It wasn't going to happen.
No.
This adventurer steals an orb, which is owned by a powerful villain, and lots of bounty hunters are after this character. To evade the evil villain, this character is forced into an uneasy truth with four disparate misfits. A gun-toting raccoon.
Guardians.
Guardians of the Galaxy, number one.
Orb.
Yeah.
Orb.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Buckaroo Banzai.
A lot of information I had to take out of that to make it sound super vague.
Yeah. Nice.
This one I think is going to be easy. Mm. This is just us gearing up for Christmas.
All right.
This character was accidentally transported to the North Pole as a toddler and raised to adult. Yeah.
Nice.
That's good. That was a first sentence. Well done.
Thanks.
A reporter finds a chance to redeem his honour after being hired by a wealthy Swedish industrialist to solve a 40-year-old murder of his niece. He reckons she was killed by a member of his family. He has a weird lady in her 20s to help him who has an interesting tattoo.
The girl with the dragon tattoo?
Nice.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, but that was a good clue in the very last sentence.
I left the Swedish bit in as well.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Bloke owns a bookshop in London and meets a famous Hollywood actress.
Notting Hill.
Yes.
Just a man.
Standing in front. Yeah. Oh, that was the worst line. Okay, this is the last one.
All right.
Years after the collapse of civilization, there's a bad guy and he enslaves apocalypse survivors inside a desert fortress. Then a tough lady leads five wives to a daring escape.
Fury Road.
Yeah, Mad Max, the one with Charlize Theron. She was the tough lady.
She was.
To change it a lot.
Tom Hardy plays Man Who Grunts.
Yeah, that's right.
That movie is so good.
It's a classic. It's amazing that they were able to make a, sort of a remake on the original and have it just as even perhaps more so successful than the original.
Fury Road I put way above.
A lot of people do.
I love it so much.
I met the stunt coordinator who had a lot to do with the direction whenever George Miller wasn't there.
Nice.
He was really super interesting.
The guy that plays the Doof Warrior, who is the guitarist, the flame guitarist in front of the thing, that's Iota, who's a Sydney like he used to play like folk, alternative, this sort of stuff back in the day when I was at uni around the places.
And you're like, I know you.
And he writes songs for like ABC Kids shows now and everything. And then just was the Doof Warrior. It's so random.
They must be like, this is the only time I'm ever going to be able to do something like this.
Yep.
Just take the opportunity. It's so awesome. All right. Well, next week we will be back for more amazing things. And I've still got two quizzes up my sleeve.
Do you?
Yeah. I've been backlogging them. Wow. It's good.
We should do a big Christmas quiz.
Yes. Agreed. We got some good stuff coming up towards the end of this year.
Special.
Yeah, exactly. Very special things. Tom, thank you very much.
Thwip.